Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for listening to my wife and I. Today we are addressing the question, are we really born in sin? Well, yes, we are most definitely born in sin, as the Word of God declares. You know, God told Adam not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or he would die. God gave man a choice in order to see if man loved him enough to obey him. And obeying God was for man's protection. Well, obviously, Adam and his wife Eve did not. Man chose to believe the lie of the devil instead. Now we have to realize that Adam spoke with the creator of the universe face to face, and he knew that God was the one who created all living creatures on the earth. Yet man chose to believe the serpent instead of God himself. That alone is perplexing, in that Adam doubted the creator but believed the created. You know, however, the devil is a great deceiver, and he continues to deceive so many today. You know, Revelation 12:9 states that he deceives the whole world.
And Bill, speaking of deception, many today believe in a vision that one man claimed he had. One man who had some bizarre dream or vision founded a false religion on it. Yet this man didn't rise from the dead to prove his belief. He doesn't state that he died for man's sins. He doesn't even claim to be a God of love. As a matter of fact, many of these false religions demand works to be done, sacrifices to be made, rituals to perform, and they still don't promise eternal life.
That's right. You know, the Bible declares that there is only one God and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead to prove he was who he said he was. And this God doesn't require sacrifices or make demands or rituals to be kept, but provides eternal life to all who would repent of sin and trust in him as their Lord and Savior. And this God of the Bible declares that he loves and cherishes every person. And one more thing, the Bible was not written by one man, nor based on one man's vision, but rather 40 men who wrote 66 separate books over a 1,500-year period. And there are over 300 predictions of Jesus Christ who would come and be sacrificed for all and die on a cross but rise from the dead. So this makes Christianity unique. Jesus came, died, and rose from the dead and proved who he said he was.
Those are all excellent points, Bill. And I just want to go back to Adam and Eve for a moment. You know, God commanded man to follow his instructions, and he warned Adam what would happen if he disobeyed. Therefore, his disobedience was sin and rebellion. After he ate of the fruit, Adam now had a sinful nature and could not enter heaven. And heaven is perfect, and God cannot allow any corruption into his perfect place. And why should he?
That's right. Revelation 21:27 says that. You know, so now man's nature is sinful, and that sinful nature would pass on down to every person ever born. But you might think, well, that's not fair, in that we have to now suffer for his sin. But every one of us would have done the same, and humans prove it every day with our sinful thoughts, actions, intents, and attitudes.
And here are just several verses that describe our sinful nature. Romans 5:12-15 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many.
So his gift would abound to us, to everyone that would believe. So Adam brought death to every man, and Jesus brought life to every man who would receive him and obey him. So there's the choice. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God and died for your sins or not? You know, Psalms 51:1-5 says, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. So David there is stating that he knows he's a sinner and he needs to be washed thoroughly from his sin. Psalms 58:3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies."
Oh, and just as a comment on that verse, you know, you notice how even little children will lie. You know, the mother may ask, "Little Mikey, did you eat that cookie?" "No, Mommy, I didn't." Yet crumbs are all over his face.
That's right.
You know, now children still go to heaven because they have not reached the age of accountability, small children. And that is God's grace.
That's right.
And also continuing of why we are all born in sin, here's another couple verses. Romans 3:12 says, "There is none who does good, no, not one." And Romans 3:23 states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God."
Boy, that's all of us. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we all deserve death, but Jesus died in our place. Thank God. Now Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, that's man's heart. Deceitful and desperately wicked. You know, Jesus called us all evil in Matthew 7:11.
I think those are great verses to prove we're born in sin.
That's right.
You know, and this is why we all need a Savior. We are all on the road already to hell. We are doomed to die and go there without us, you know, Jesus coming and dying in our place and us turning to Him. And God is not sending anyone to hell because we are automatically on that road. And John 3:18 backs this up and says, "But he who does not believe is condemned already."
Right, we're already condemned.
Exactly. And we cannot get to heaven, as Christians know, by our own efforts. We could never be good enough.
That's right. You know, and this analogy might help us understand why our good falls immensely short of God's standard of good. Say you were viewing some white sheep grazing on a green hillside. Well, those sheep would appear to be dazzling white compared to the green grass. However, you go to bed that evening and wake up to the hillside covered with snow. Now the sheep appear dingy and dull in comparison to the pure white snow. And so it is with man. Even our best appears very dirty compared to a holy God. As a matter of fact, the analogy is very weak in comparison, as we would look filthy compared to God. And Job 15:16 says, "How much less man who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water." And then Isaiah 64:6 says, "And all our righteousness are as filthy rags." Compared to God, we're like filthy rags, even our best. You know, so if we would be honest, we would admit that we all sin. You know, that reminds me of a story. I was asked to be on a radio, a talk show, and the host of the show brought out, he was a Christian, supposedly, said he was a Christian, and he said, "You know, Bill, I never sin." I was shocked when he said that. And I said, "You never sin?" He goes, "No, I never sin. Since I've been saved, I have never sinned once." I said, "You've never lied once?" He goes, "Never. I've never lied."
And he had been saved quite a while, right? For years.
And I said, "We all sin. We all make mistakes. We need to repent of our sin," as 1 John 1, 9 states. And he goes, "No, I never lie." I said, "Have you ever had a lustful thought?" He goes, "Nope, I've never lusted." I said, "Not once in your whole life." He said, "Nope." And I said, "Okay, how about Proverbs 24:9 says, even the thought of foolishness is a sin. Have you ever had even one foolish thought?" He said, "Nope, I've never had a foolish thought." I couldn't believe the deception in that man to say he was never sinned. I went on further and said, "Look, there's only one man that's never sinned. That's Jesus Christ." I said, "Are you saying you're the same as him?" He said, "Yes, I'm exactly the same as him. I have never sinned."
And then I remember Christians started to call in the station and say, you know, siding with you and saying, "This guy's completely off."
Right. You know, and Galatians 3:22 says, "The scripture has concluded all under sin." Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "Indeed, there is not a righteous man on the earth who continually does good and who never sins." Then Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." I mean, and there's many more of these verses that prove that we all sin. Yet this man would not admit it. I've never, ever talked to somebody
never
like that.
Never came across that before. I know. And it reminds me, too, of 1 John 1:10 that says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us."
Right.
You know,
and then the First John.
But thank God for 1 John 1:9 as believers, you know, and this is John speaking to Christians. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So John is already presupposing we're going to still sin at times, even ignorantly, not intentionally, but after we are born again,
right,
and come to Christ. And we all have blown it and do sin and make mistakes.
We can get angry without a cause. We could have unforgiveness to someone. We can hold a grudge. We could not show love to somebody. You know, those are all things that as Christians we need to repent of. Or even one foolish thought. That's a sin. We need to repent of all these things.
Absolutely. You know, and people lie when it's beneficial for them. Some do not disclose a defect in something they are selling in order to obtain a higher price. Some people lie about a fellow worker in order to get a promotion. The people will gossip. They'll say things about another without having all the facts and judge. And some will cheat on their taxes. They'll tell someone, they'll be there for an appointment. Many don't feed the poor. Like you said, Bill, they get angry without a cause and don't forgive. And that's just to name a few of our sins. And this is the so-called good people.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank God he sent Jesus to die in our place and cleanse us from our sin. His desire is to take us to heaven. However, we must repent and turn to him in order for that to happen. You know, people send themselves to hell by the rejection of the provision for their sins, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So are you the simple one or the prudent one?
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.